like a mouth wants a thumb, and his heart like a drum in a marching band.
And that is the first cut from Seafoam, which was released in 2018 by Corey Laitman, who is my guest today. And I want to welcome them to the first visit, hopefully of many, and Nine Volt Heart. Welcome, Corey.
Hi, I'm really happy to be here.
And so, Seafoam, 2018, a bunch of really great local people on it. Tell me, the recording itself has, you know, a lot of musicians that I'm familiar with, especially a couple of folks that are Anna Nyack, for example, is a really cool. He's playing a lot lately with a lot of different folks because he's basically from Ronnie Arbo and Daisy Mayhem is his original band. But the reality is that they're not playing a ton of shows, so he's out doing lots of things, including playing with you.
Yeah.
So I would like to be able to hear a couple of tunes live because I'm really taken with Seafoam. I have been listening to it for about 3 weeks now, and since I knew you might be on the show. So I'd love to hear a tune from that if you had one in mind.
Sure.
What would you like to play?
Sure. I'm going to play Carnival.
Excellent. All right. Which is not on Seafoam, right?
Carnival is on Seafoam, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's, well, let's see. It's the fifth track.
Yep. You got it. Live in studio on 9 Volt Heart, Corey Laitman.
Oh, my starling. I've been watching you on your wire. Seen your hollow wings bear you higher and higher. Over the mountain tops where all the space of all that dissonant sound. on that wasted land. Oh, well, I know it's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other. There's a virus hiding out in your brain. So if you gotta carve out your sterile spaces and hide out inside those high up places in the name of staying safe, of keeping sane in this wind and this rain. Funny thing, I have been watching you charm the crowd. They're laying down their arms, oh, they're laughing out loud. Oh, but funny thing, you've grown so small, it's hard to see you. Dark, but your heart is clear. Won't you fly on down? Make your home right here. Well, I know it's all you can do to put one in front of the other. When the cold has got your bones and there's a virus hiding out in your brain. So if you gotta carve out your sterile spaces and hide out inside those high up places in the name of staying safe, keeping sane in this wind and this rain.
Gorgeous. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So Seafoam has gotten some really nice press. I was reading the expertly crafted alternative folk pop ballads with hushed spiritual undertones. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah. And I've been listening to it not exactly quite nonstop, but pretty regularly, and the songs reveal themselves more and more as I listen to them, because they are kind of a mystery to me. When you know, it's not exactly a story song, they are character driven songs. And I was just curious, you know, is that an intentional device, or is just that the way that you write songs?
I don't think it's a conscious device. I think it's just the way I write songs. It's the way I tend to tell stories. I'm pretty bad with chronology. And so I tend to tell stories as like a series of vignettes, or talk more about how the thing felt as opposed to what happened.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Then you'll have to leave me to the chronology, because I want to talk about some upcoming shows, and this is pretty straightforward chronology.
Yep.
Last night was at Luthiers, is
last
that right?
Last night was at Luthiers,
so
yeah.
We missed that one, but there is another Luthier show coming up later on, but yes. Tell me about curating the Majestic, the Shut Up and Listen to the Music series.
Yeah, I really like the Majestic. The people who run the Majestic are really good people. As far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I played there twice before I started curating the series. And, you know, it's a bar. So when you play there, or when you play at any bar, generally you go in expecting that people will be chatting at the bar and that there will be noise in the room. But I helped put together both of the shows that I played at the Majestic. And it bothered me more than people at the bar talking tends to bother me. And after the second show, Brock, one of the co-owners of the bar, asked me if I'd like to curate a series, and he told me to kind of think on what I wanted the title of it to be. And as I was reflecting on my experiences at the Majestic, I kind of in jest texted him asking, can we call the series Shut Up and Listen? And he was like, oh, definitely. So it stuck.
So that's going to be coming up on the 20th of February, which is a Thursday night. Who's involved in the next volume two?
Volume two is Sister Jawbone, mm-hmm, and Julie Sarah in the Wake.
Excellent. And yourself.
And myself, yeah. I'm opening.
Excellent. Yeah. And you also have a show a couple days later, a Saturday night in Greenfield at the Root Cellar.
That's true.
I think it might be called 10 Forward these days.
It's confusing.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they probably shouldn't confuse us with Star Trek references for a Root Cellar.
Yes, that's a lot.
Those are mixed metaphors that don't...
I didn't even... Yeah, you're right.
And then you are playing some great other gigs too. Club Passim for all my Cambridge and Boston folks on the 25th. Yeah. And then you play with a good friend of mine, Caitlin Canty. You're playing up at Cafe Lena.
Right.
We'll play some Caitlin, too, later on. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry seems to be kind of a primary force in your creative life. Even on your CD, you have a Theodore Retke poem in the back of, behind that CD, kind of hidden there.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it's... it's actually one that he won the Pulitzer Prize for, called The Waking.
Yeah.
And he also won the National Book Award for a couple of others. That particular poem and others are on your website as well.
Uh-huh.
Your very first performance was also based on a poem by an English teacher, Florida.
That's right.
So tell me what the connection is between the obvious of writing a poem and writing a song. Is poetry something that you spend a fair amount of time reading?
Yeah, on a good day.
Yeah.
On a good day. That's sometimes good answer. It's hard. You know, the pace of life is such that it can be really hard to slow down, for at least for me, to slow down enough to actually feel a poem,
mm-hmm,
you know, because mm-hmm, I can't read poetry at the pace that I read prose. You know, it takes a lot of hitting on the brakes and yep, slowing down. So I love reading poetry when I can slow down enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you consider your songs to be poetry first and then set to music, or are they not quite so linear?
The music and the words happen in conjunction with one another. Mm-hmm. I pay a lot of attention to lyrics, and I have a lot of fun rearranging words. But I don't know. They depend on one another and play off of one another.
Yes. And, you know, I found that repeating listening opens up a lot of surprises.
Mm.
You know, from verse to verse, that it seems to be perhaps about something different, or like you were referring to, not exactly chronological or story songs. So
sure.
I've been going to the band camp for your first CD,
yeah,
and to really delve into the lyrics, and they're beautifully done. So
thank you.
Keep up the good work. Are you writing regularly, like new material?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. We're actually working on a new album right now.
And before we get to the new one, who was working with you on the latest release, Seafoam?
on Seafoam. Anand Nayak, Riley Godlesky, Zing Studio in Westfield. I don't know what they're calling it now. I think Mainline Studios.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eric Arena and Jeff Lynch are just fantastic. Fantastic people.
Good friends of Mikey Sweet, who is a good friend of mine. They were played on his band, as well as Woodford Way and all the other connections there. And Sturgis Cunningham on drums, as well as Riley.
Uh-huh. And Sean Kimball on the upright bass.
Yeah.
Just really incredible performances on the CD.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. And mixed by the legendary Mark Miller.
Oh, Mark. Yeah. What a guy.
And when we talk about co-producing, you have Sean, yourself, and Anand as co-producer. What exactly role does co-producing entail?
It entails a lot of sitting around and listening in a really, really meticulous, detail-oriented way and making tiny adjustments and just doing that and talking about it for hours and hours and hours and hours. Really, it was Anand. I have to give Anand most of the credit for the production on this piece. He spent the most time with it and lost a lot of sleep over it.
I have noticed his when he works with other folks in the Valley, he's an incredibly calming force as well. So it must have been anxious. Yeah. You're paying folks for time, and you know, when things don't go exactly the way you hoped, it would seem that he'd be a great resource to just chill the whole thing down.
Yeah, man, he's a great friend. He's a really good buddy.
Good. Well, you know, I've been playing Marching Band and Wolf from this release, but my good friend Mark Beauvais, who has a show on the Table of Contents, tells me he's been playing the Well. So I was going to play the Well, dedicated to Mark Beauvais.
Sure.
And could you tell us a little about the song, and then we'll play it?
Yeah, that actually just started airing on Acoustic Cafe today.
Ah, super.
Which is really super, yeah. What about the Well? I mean, it's like a fraught love song. I have a friend, Anna, who challenged me to write a song with all minor chords because she felt I didn't use them quite enough, and this was the product of that experiment.
Excellent. Well, we'll hear that now, and it has some great playing on it as well. So, we'll be right back with more of Corey Laitman on 9 Volt Heart after this.